Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to the Masters of Modern podcast. What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Ben Bateman. I'm not Alex Kessler. That's not Alex Kessler, no. But we are back for another show for you guys. This is exciting. I've got a very special guest next to me, and I'm going to jump straight in and introduce her. It's Ashlyn Rose.
Hey, everyone.
It's a golf clap, so we're not peeking on the live stream. Ashlyn, this is your second time on the show, but it's your first time actually in studio, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe the first time was over Skype, like, what, 3 years ago or
a
something?
A long time ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah, memories. The memories. Yeah. But since then, you've mastered Tron. You've become a pretty famous magic personality. You're getting invited to do cool things that I'm not getting invited to do.
Oh.
no, just kidding. Only sort of, but we're excited to have you here to talk about those cool things. And yeah, guys, this is a show where we talk about modern. So we're happy to have Ashlyn. Alex is in Hong Kong right now, I believe.
Oh, wow.
I think he gets back in a couple days. And we have a bunch of cool stuff to break down for you. So we're going to be talking about some of the weekend modern results, some of the things that you can look forward to this upcoming weekend. We are going to be talking about this amazing event that you're a part of right now,
This
Card King event called The Chalice.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a whole explanation there, guys, but it's basically you're drafting four sets and building a modern deck from the card pool within those four sets to play against other people doing the same thing. And she got to do it, which is really cool.
Yes, I'm super excited to play it. We'll talk about the deck.
Yeah, 100%. So it's going to be great. We've been talking to Josh Lee Kwai, Command Zone, who also is doing the same event. And so we kind of have a little bit of awareness of what's going on in the meta. You know, we'll prepare you. And though I swore that I would never talk about his deck.
Please do tell. I'm ready. Influence my sideboard decisions. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, guys, so this is the show where we talk about modern every single week. That's what's coming up on the show today. If you want to follow along with what we're doing, Ashlyn, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ashlyn Rose or on twitch.tv/Ashlyn_Rose, where I stream a lot of Magic Arena and whatnot.
And you guys can find me at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram. I keep talking about this Twitch streaming that I'm going to start doing that I haven't started, but that is Ben Bateman streaming on Twitch. And you can find us. We have a Facebook group that people are interacting in right now, Master of Modern Facebook group. We're just about to clear 5,000 members, which is exciting. Ooh. So yeah, that's how we're going to start. So I say before we get into the Chalice, I think let's talk about some of the Modern Weekend results. I know sometimes we talk about them, sometimes we don't, but today we were looking up some decks, the SCG event this last weekend, the Classic, I believe, in Columbus, which was interesting. The results, you know, the event was won by Amulet Titan, which is a deck that we've seen pop up since the banning, obviously, of Summer Bloom, which was like a year and a half ago now?
It's been a while.
Yeah. This version of the deck pops up sometimes. It's the Azusa version. And it's pretty cool. There's nothing about this version that really jumped out at me as, like, crazy. Even the threats, like the Hornet Queen, you've seen that as a one of quite a bit. It's kind of a solitaire-ish deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not my favorite, but it did win. And this top eight here that we're looking at is kind of an interesting top eight. There's not a copy of Humans in the top eight.
No.
There's no copies of Tron in the top eight. The only deck that you're seeing in here that is really like a premier deck right now is Bant Spirits, which is like kind of a newer thing that's been popping up. I mean, obviously, Burn is a premier deck. But
Burn's
like,
always going to be there.
But yeah, the other decks in this top eight, like they feel like they're sort of more fringe decks that have been good or maybe aren't as like tier one right now. I guess Jeskai's still kind of tier one.
It is interesting, though. Like, I wonder why we aren't seeing a lot of the other decks that we normally see up in that range there right
now.
Like, is it Ravnica? Is it?
Yeah, I don't think it's the results of... I don't think it's the new set that's influencing this too much. I mean, definitely the most interesting deck in this top eight is this deck played by Michael Coyle in second place, this Grixis Wyrr deck. Grixis Wyrr, I use that
Grixis
term kind of loosely, right? Well, because like you're looking at the list with me and you were like, so why are they playing black?
Yeah, where is the black of this deck? Turns out it's in the sideboard.
For two copies of Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas. And there are other questions of why are they playing red for a single copy of Pyrite Spellbomb in the main deck. This deck is almost entirely colorless. It plays like a lot of the cards that you've seen out of like what's the word I'm looking for? The Lantern decks. Right? Like, it has a lot of the same stuff in here. You know, you have all of your Tormod's Crypts, and you have your Engineered Explosives, and your Four Ensnaring Bridges, and everything like that. But it's basically like a Wyrr of Invention deck that, yeah, Bottled Cloister, Chalice of the Void. It's a colorless prison deck, basically.
Is that the only blue they actually have?
In the sideboard, there's a copy of Psymaster Thopterist and a copy of Pedim. The red in the sideboard, obviously, for the Garoppa Aether Grids as well. But yeah, this deck is almost totally colorless. So, interesting name. I feel like it needs a better name than Grixis Whirr, right?
What would you name it?
I don't know. A horrible thing to play against?
Oh, yeah. Very annoying. Mm. Although, I feel like with these types of decks, like, Tron actually fares pretty well against them.
Yeah.
Compared to most other decks, so they don't...
Well, yeah, because, like, you land a Karn, and they're like, shoot.
Yeah, they're like, all right.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because what do they do against Karn? Like, their EE can't get rid of it. Their Ensnaring Bridge doesn't care. They have to... Sorcerer's Spyglass means they could shut off the abilities, right?
True.
Yeah, so they would have to anticipate that. But, yeah, I think if you get, like, a Tron on turn three and you hit Karn, I think they're probably pretty boned. So anyway, guys, that's the most interesting deck in this these results from Columbus. On the other end of things, we found some pretty sweet stuff in this last weekend's Modern Challenge. Now, the top eight is a lot of decks we've seen before. First place, we had a Grixis Shadow deck doing Grixis Shadow things. This version of this deck is almost a year old now, I think.
And it's still going pretty strong.
Yeah, and it just pretty much looks like the same deck to me. There's not really a whole lot in here that looks too different. Right, so I mean, your second place deck here is a what's the phrase I'm looking for? The Ad Nauseam deck. Again, this is pretty much just the Ad Nauseam deck. Hey, Mike, I think I can hear us through something. I don't know if it's the computer audio or if it's just the headphones audio, but I just want to make sure we're not feeding back.
Names. Are these the people who submitted the decks, or is this the names of the decks?
No, this is the people who play. This is the users.
Like,
yeah,
Kitty Man.
Kitty Man with all the eyes. Yeah. So yeah, third place in the same tournament. This is the Hollow One deck, another deck that's really the mainstay, but a weird one that we didn't see any copies of in that top eight from Columbus, right? Like, this is another one of those decks that's been like in those big five for a while now. Coming in fourth place in the Modern Challenge. This is a, what's it called deck? The
Affinity?
No, Ironworks.
Yeah.
I'm having like brain farts today, guys. It takes me a second to get there.
Words.
Yeah, fifth place, you've got the Dredge deck, Prized Amalgams, all those things. These are all like unsurprising. The rest of this top eight, this is like a black white tokens deck. But the most interesting deck here, another copy of Banned Spirits, is this deck played by Archgaze in eighth place. This is the deck that we really want to talk about.
It's pretty sweet.
And so we looked at it, and like Michael, our producer over here, you guys know Michael, he's been on the show. He was like, "What is Kragenwick Cremator?" And I was like, "Kragen."
It does the thing.
Now, to my credit, I have copies of this card, obviously, because like it's a bad card that does super sweet things, but I didn't remember what it was. So Kragenwick Cremator, guys, red 2 for a 5/4 giant shaman. This is from Shadowmoor. When Kragenwick Cremator enters the battlefield, discard a card at random. If you discard a creature card this way, Cremator deals damage equal to that card's power to target player. So,
but it gets better.
It gets better. So this deck is playing two copies of Galta Primal Hunger, right?
And two copies of, how do you pronounce that? Impervious.
Great Worm.
Great Worm.
Yeah, this is the 16/16 Convoke Indestructible for 10. So, and then it's playing like two copies of Fauna Shaman, three copies of Eldritch Evolution, a bunch of just like sweet cards. Like it's playing like four copies of Steely Champion, four Shangaroo Geist, a copy of Nullhide Ferox. That's our new guy. Bunch of birds, two birds, four Hierarchs, right? Like, it's a green, it's like a mono green stompy deck that wants to combo you out.
Yeah, so except for it wants to throw everything at your face instead of like turning them sideways. Although turning them sideways also works.
Yeah, and it's playing four copies of Lightning Bolt, so that's how it's going to control the game. I mean, this deck definitely loses to combo. Like, if you combo this deck out, like, but even like, I wonder, how do you think this deck fares against like Hollow One?
Oh gosh. I feel like it would be actually pretty bad, right?
Well, I mean, Hollow One's fast, so like Hollow One can have a crazy turn one, turn two. But here's the thing: is like, what if this deck plays like a bird on turn one, like a Strangleroot Geist, then another bird on turn two? Hollow One's trying to poop out like a bunch of 4/4s. You catch up with this deck pretty fast, then all of a sudden you've got like Steel Leaf Champions and you've got like Undying Strangleroot Geists. They probably don't really punch through that fast because you're playing a lot of beef with this deck.
Yeah.
And I think you probably catch up and win the game, I would guess.
Yeah, if you can catch up, I think you could definitely win. My only thing is, because I ran into the same issue with Tron, is I forget what card they have, but it like always, it's the card that I hate and wait for them to play where everyone has to discard their hand.
Burning Inquiry.
Yeah, Burning Inquiry, because you were going to get screwed if they played that.
Yeah, Burning Inquiry is going to be really good against this deck, but I definitely think Yeah, I mean, a really fast deck will beat this, and a combo deck will beat this. But I think as far as, like, if you're not that disruptive, I think this deck's pretty good. It does feel a little suspect that, like, the most interesting thing you're doing is Kragnewik Cremator. Because, like, if you, like, don't get there or they can disrupt you somehow, then I think this deck is just a bad version of, like, a tier 3 deck. But I think it's pretty clever. And the fact that, like big ups for playing two copies of Impervious Great Worm and two copies of Galta Primal Hunger. It's like as good as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. I would play this deck in a heartbeat.
I'd play the crap out of it, yeah. So those are some of the results we saw this last weekend, guys. That's what's going on in the world of Modern. Not a single copy of Humans between these top 16s. Is Humans falling out of favor?
I don't know. Honestly, I wouldn't be sad to see it go.
Yeah, it's been pretty dominant for a while. I mean, obviously, we're talking about an online Modern challenge and a single open. So like. True. Or a classic or whatever, whichever that is. But that shouldn't be indicative of exactly where the format is. But it is weird. I haven't seen that in a while. Top 16 with zero copies of it. So,
Be interested to hear what you guys think about that. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Is it falling out?
Are you guys happy to see Humans here? So you want to see it go? I mean, that deck has been pretty prominent, pretty tier one for a while now. Curious what you guys think. So as we continue to move through the show, guys, I do want to talk about this amazing event that you're a part of right now.
Yes.
Because this is a pretty cool thing. So I mentioned it in the pre-show notes, but do you want to explain kind of how it works?
And yeah, what it is? Yeah, absolutely. So basically Card Kingdom is hosting this big fundraiser called the Chalice Event. And what that entails basically is a lot of the content creators are getting together, you know, like Josh Lee Kwai, you have James from Loading Ready Run, you have Jerry Thompson, Lorgoyfs, a bunch of personalities, and we're all raising funds for Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Puget Sound. And basically all of the funds we raise go towards moving kids off the wait list for that so that they can get mentors basically, which is amazing. Part of that event is a Modern, they're calling it like a draft block type of thing.
I was getting texts about this last week from Josh because he was like asking Alex and I for help with it. He was like, guys, what sets should I draft? And I was like, this is confusing. But then like once I got into it, I was like way into it.
Yeah. So think of it like this. Basically, each week we get to draft a set that is Modern legal. We all got to pick our own core set that we got to start with. Most of us picked M11. And then each week, your draft order was decided by who raised the most funds that week. And so each week you draft your set. And then at the end of those weeks, all of those sets you drafted is basically your sealed pool. And you build whatever Modern legal deck you want.
But up to 4X copies of any card 4X, in any of those sets. So the Modern ban list is in effect. So it's like a modern deal where you're drafting 4 sets. You have all the cards from 4 sets, not 4 blocks. And everybody can draft the same core set, right? That's the deal?
Yes.
So it seems like most people drafted M11. That's like where I saw the results. And like, I guess that's just because Lightning Bolt and Mana
Leak. All the Titans as well.
And all the Titans are in M11. Yeah. I wish that Preordain was legal. But it's a little bit of a miss there. That's like where most people started. So what did you draft after M11?
So I went M11, and then after that, I went original Ravnica.
Okay.
Because someone took Zendikar.
You would have taken Zendikar?
I would have taken Zendikar in a heartbeat. So missed out on Zendikar. That was like first pick snapped. And then I picked Rise of the Eldrazi.
Okay.
And then Worldwake.
Wow, so you got powerful sets.
I did. I was very excited.
Because Worldwake, you get Jace and Stoneforge Mystic.
Yes.
And Rise, you get a bunch of... Well, you get Splinter Twin. You can't...
I know.
There's no combo in your sets, is there?
No. And plus Splinter Twin. Isn't Splinter Twin...
Oh, yeah, it's the ban list, right, of course. I'm forgetting this.
That would have been amazing, but that's okay. I hated that deck in Modern anyway, so I would have felt bad playing it. I got a bunch of big creatures, Titans, and my favorite thing, Eldrazi. So
are you just playing like a ramp deck? I mean...
Pretty much. It's pretty silly. Like, we tossed around, like, I had a group of friends I was talking to about it, and, like, there was a Kago deck that Kibler played a while back that we were kind of looking at, and then there was this, like, Turbo Fog-esque deck with, like, Jace and Garruk that I was thinking of doing, but I'm not a control player, so I probably wouldn't be able to play it very well, and I thought these sets were what I kind of started with in Magic, so I was like, why not play the first deck I ever took to a PTQ, which was Mono Green Eldrazi, so I built like a play on that with a green white Eldrazi.
Interesting. And that, and this plays to your strength, too, because Tron is your classically your deck in Modern. So playing, like, giant threats and just, like, getting there was is probably up your alley.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That sounds really fun. I Josh has been talking to us. I think Josh drafted M11, Guild Pact, Innistrad, and I don't know what the fourth set that he drafted was.
Oh, I don't remember.
But...
Nufraxia. Oh, Nufraxia, okay.
Yeah, but I think... I don't know if that ended up being the pick. I'm not totally sure, but he's working on it. But we've been talking to him about kind of different ideas. And we saw that, like, Jerry T drafted...
He got 9th, Champions of Kamigawa.
Yeah.
What else did he get?
Origins and Dominaria.
Yeah. So, like, that was really interesting because, like, he took 9th, which means that he gets, like, Ensnaring Bridge. And doesn't he get the Tron lands?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so Blood Moon. And Blood Moon.
Yeah.
He just went with, like, the super hate pick.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah, so that's pretty funny. It seems like a really fun event. I mean, you know, you think about it and you're like, okay, I can build this style of deck. But then when you're like, okay, what good counter spells can I play? Or like, what good burn spells can I play? And it's like in any configuration of sets, you probably only have one or two options. So it ends up feeling like playing in a standard environment with just like powerful cards.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see like what you could work with. Like I have Remand I can work with. What else was my, I guess, Cancel? But yeah, there was a lot of fun stuff. I have both the Jaces.
Yeah, right. And you can, like, you have Original Ravnica, so you have, like, Remand. You can play, like, Telling Time. You have some pretty interesting stuff there. You said Rise. So, like, Rise Eldrazi gets, what's the best cantrip or, like, draw spell from Rise?
Oh, gosh.
Ancient Strings. Oh, yeah, that's dope. That's
which
dope.
Is definitely my... The only thing I was missing from my deck is Summoning Trap.
Yeah. Trap is dope. And that's regular Zendikar.
That's Zendikar,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. World Wake is so powerful. I would have very hard time drafting World Wake and not wanting to build just like some blue white deck because like it just
so
seems
many options.
So powerful. But like, okay, what's your best piece of equipment?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like there's almost nothing from Rise that I can think of. World Wake has like the sling bow, like what, like arrow much. Something?
I forgot what set. I think maybe it was M11, but I had like Basilisk Collar, but that's like...
Yeah, that's in World Wake.
Okay.
Okay, so you can get like Basilisk Collar, but like that's not that good. Like, no. Yeah, it feels like maybe the Stoneforge Mystic is not as powerful as it should be.
And
but
it's potential, just not the other half that would have really made it pretty insane.
So when do you get to actually play the event?
This weekend, actually.
Is it all online?
Yes, it'll be streamed on Card Kingdom's Twitch channel, and then they'll probably throw it up on YouTube afterwards.
Sweet. And you also, I saw you on like their trivia show recently. Is that
yes.
not true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Their local, what were they calling it? It was a play on LGS. It was their local game show. Yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting. I had like been interested in like the idea of match trivia for a while. You guys looked like you had a good time.
Oh, it was so much fun. I still can't believe I got the guess the commander wrong. That was...
What had happened?
So basically they played 21 questions, but it was for commander. Again, 21 commander damage. And so you can ask 21 questions to try to guess the card they have on the screen. And so we were getting down to the wire and I'm like, is it from Ixalan? And everyone kind of like paused. They were like, oh, is she going to get it? And they're like, yes, it's from Ixalan. And I thought I knew it. I was so proud of myself. I was like, oh, I got this. I don't know the name of the card, but I'm going to draw it. And I have it. And I totally thought it was the three-headed dinosaur. Is that Zakama?
I'm not a big commander guy.
So, and they throw it up on the screen, and it's actually Admiral Beckett Brass, who I've cosplayed and played for Commander. So, really missed that one.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, because you're a big cosplayer. That's something, so some of you guys probably know this and some of you guys probably don't. That's how we met you originally you rose to prominence in the community as being a cosplayer. I've seen you do Nissa cosplay several times, right? Would you say that's your go-to?
Admiral Beckett Brass is now, but Nissa is the one I do wear a lot as well.
Yeah.
Of the two, Brass is my favorite just because it's more comfortable.
How long does it take you to get ready one of these things?
So Brass is the easiest, which is why I love her. She takes about maybe 30 minutes to put on. Nissa can take anywhere from like probably about an hour max just because she has so much makeup.
The makeup, right?
Yeah. And the contact. She has like the full contact lenses and everything. Mm. But
cool. All right, so now, guys, that's the event. So tune into Card Kingdom's Twitch channel this weekend. You can watch Josh play. You can watch Ashlyn play. It's definitely gonna be a lot of fun to watch. I will be watching. I'm very, very interested in this event. Speaking of Josh, you guys should be checking out the Command Zone. It's our sister podcast. They launched the same time we did. So we launched. I guess it's been 4 years now.
Wow.
I guess it's been about four years and change now. They launched like maybe 6 weeks before we did. and they've done 200 plus episodes now.
Yeah.
And Game Nights is their other show. So check all that stuff out because it's super awesome. But I want to get back to Tron because that's what you were playing, I think, when we first met you.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of experience playing Tron. And I know you play Red Green Tron.
Yes.
Primarily, right?
Yeah, mostly Red Green Tron. I've tried some of the other ones, though, so I'm familiar with them.
So, like, Mono Green Tron feels like it's the one right now. And you'll see, like, the black splash sometimes for hand disruption, or I've seen people play Push before. Mm-hmm. But Mono Green is probably the most prominent Tron. What is it about Red Green Tron that drew you to the deck in the first place?
I think I've always liked ramp decks, and I really like Burn. So it's kind of the best of the both worlds for me. And I think that was, like, kind of the deck that was really, when I started getting into Modern, was kind of, like, of all the Tron decks, it was either Red Green Tron or Blue Tron. And
right.
I don't play blue. So I went with that deck and kind of just fell in love with it. It has the removal for all the stuff. And, it was just really fun and consistent for me.
Did you ever try out Red Green Eldrazi? Because I know that was, like, a kind of similar cards, but obviously a little more mid-range and aggressive.
I don't think I tried Red Green Eldrazi. I tried Tron Eldrazi.
Eldrazi Tron.
Eldrazi Tron.
With, like, the walking ballistas and all that.
Yeah.
How'd you like it?
I just couldn't do it as well. Yeah. I don't know. I felt a little, like, off my mark with it, but it was fun.
Interesting. What would you recommend, like, if somebody's listening to this and they're like, I've never tried Tron, I've thought about playing some variant of it, what do you think is fun about it versus what's frustrating about it?
What's fun about it is that I feel like it's really easy to pick up and play. It doesn't take a lot of, like, you're not playing something where you're going to have to think of, like, a lot of counterfills. You just play your cards, try to get your lands assembled, and it's there you go. The only problem is when you play against something that has a lot of hand disruption or land hate, like a Ponza deck or something.
Right.
Ponza, oh my gosh.
has the printing recently of both Field of Ruin and now Assassin's Trophy just made you just, like, never want to play Tron again?
Oh, I'm still going to play it. But yeah, when I saw Assassin's Trophy, I was like, great.
Yeah, card's really, really good.
It really
is. Yeah, I've been brewing with it. I've been trying to figure out, like, what direction I want to go in Modern right now. The new set is interesting. Assassin's Trophy is definitely going to change the format.
Because that hits a lot of decks. That's not just Tron. That's, like, what, a Hollowed One?
Yeah, it just hits a lot of decks. Everything. It's just a really good, like, knocking out a land for 2 mana if you want is great. But just, yeah, I mean, I talked about it with this with Alex on the set review. But, like, they keep printing these cards that allow you to do something and have your opponent search for a basic.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to me because, like, at a certain point, you just can play a deck that's like, I'm gonna play, like, Leonin Arbiter or something where you can't search your library. Mm. And then you get, like, really, really good with, it's like a Hate Bear style deck. Or B, I'm just going to drain your deck of basic lands and then all my cards get insane.
Yeah.
And that, like, altogether. There's also cards like a card that I think is interesting is Tunnel Ignis. You know this card?
No, I don't.
It's like one red, one colorless for a 2/1. And I think it states that when the second land comes into play in an opponent's turn, they take 3.
Oh, gosh.
So, like, they play a land, you Assassin's Trophy, and now your Assassin's Trophy has 3 attached to it as long as you have a Tunnel Ignis. There's, like, just a bunch of weird interactions that, like, the deeper they go down this rabbit hole of, like, replace effect with basic land, these cards get better and better.
Yeah.
Like, redundancy is always so interesting in that way to me. There's all these effects that are marginal that keep getting pushed. I was just talking to Michael before the show about this, but I play this 100-card format called Highlander Roulette.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Super fun, and I've wanted to build a mill deck in Highlander forever. And a lot of you guys know this, but, like, one of the first decks I ever took to a Modern PTQ was a mill deck. It was like an Esper Turbo Archive Trap deck.
That's amazing.
And this was like 6 years ago or something. But I've always wanted to build one for Highlander, and it's 100 cards, so it's obviously a lot worse. But they just keep pushing, like, incidental mill. Like, think about all the cards in the last couple of years we've gotten. Like, this new 2-mana one that just came out. Every blue spell you play mills 2, right? Mm-hmm. You have Fraying Sanity, which is a really strong card. It's, like, basically a better version of the curse. There's another one that I can't think of the name of it. Michael,
Is it the Enchanted Psychic Erosion, or? That one's when you draw a card, mill 2?
Yeah, okay, that's the one. Yeah, Psychic Erosion. There's Sphinx's Tutelage.
Maybe.
There's, like, all these cards they keep printing where you're just, like, incidental mill is, like, a thing I can do. In a 100-card format, I mean, it doesn't seem that ideal, but then you pair that along with Archive Trap and Glimpse the Unthinkable and Breaking Entering and all the various cards. It's just like, I don't know. It's interesting to think that in 5 more years, what strategies, if they keep incidentally pushing them in Standard, will become, like, just mainstay things you can just do. that aren't going to be that hard. How much, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, like, think how good it will feel in a 100 card deck to, like, mill someone out. That's what I try to do in Commander all the time.
Style points, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you usually play in Commander?
I play Una, Queen of the Fae.
Oh, that card's great.
Yeah.
That was the first Commander deck I ever built.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so long ago now, like right when Una first came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's actually my first Commander too, so.
Yeah, that card's really good.
Yeah, she's fun.
Foils are like crazy expensive, or it got reprinted at one point.
I did it?
Yeah. Didn't Una get reprinted in like a
Modern Masters? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Modern Masters. Yeah, yeah. So the foil's still probably expensive, but not quite as crazy as it was. Okay, so talking about Tron, that's your deck of choice. If you were going to get into another deck in Modern, what do you think you would want to get into?
I've actually dabbled around with, what is it called? Oh, the ones with the Valakute. So it would be like Titan, is it Titan Bloom?
Oh, Titan Shift you're talking about?
Yeah, Titan Shift and Bridge Titan.
Both of those are sweet.
Those are really fun.
Yeah. Do you find, are you drawn to Arena? Like, is that something that you are interested in playing more of?
Yeah. It feels really good to play.
Yeah.
I've been, like, ever since that came out, I haven't played as much on Magic Online, so I haven't got to play as much Modern as I used to.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I've messed around with it a little bit. I've gotten to play a little bit of Arena, but I'm really, like, interested in, you know, playing Modern, and it's kind of a bummer to me that I can't play it. But I definitely just feel like that's the direction we're all going, is just like more and more Arena.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I basically stream now, is Arena.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It feels really good. I do wish we could play things like Modern. I understand why we can't, because that's just going to get like really crazy over that UI and whatnot with some of the complexities that can happen in Modern.
The backwards compatibility seems like impossible.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, for sure. All right, so talk to me a little bit. I think we did this maybe in the beginning, but it's been a few years now. What got you into Magic in the first place?
Oh, wow. So I started playing Magic back in 2009. It was actually when Duels of the Planeswalkers first released. Gotta stop throwing my chin into that mic. I'm just like, ah! So when that first released, basically, it was on Xbox. We saw it on there, and my fiance had played before, and he's like, "Oh, this is a really cool game. I used to play it. You should try it." So I was like, "Cool, I'll try it." And I just like spent like the next weekend playing nothing.
Yeah, but duels.
Yeah, exactly. We had a lot of fun with it. We went out and bought fat packs. We opened a Tormagoyf in it.
Ah, sweet.
And we found a local shop that used to like had like a Wednesday night draft. It was like an Irish pub meets Indian restaurant.
Oh, wow.
And they'd have drafts every Wednesday.
Quite the combination.
Yeah. And we just got hooked from there again and started playing.
Interesting. And then did you start with like Standard?
Yeah, started with Standard. I don't think I even learned about different formats until like 3 or 4 years into playing Magic.
Modern didn't even exist, I think, until 2011.
Yeah.
I want to say 2011 was the first year it came out. It was like after Innistrad.
Okay.
Somewhere in there. And then it didn't really pick up, like become popular probably until closer to 2012. So you were playing Standard, you were drafting and doing all the limited. Do you still draft a lot?
No, I'm actually a terrible limited player.
Really?
It terrifies me. Like, I'm so scared to play limited. I feel safe with all my like constructed decks and like being able to count on them.
What happens to me with limited is if I play a format enough, then I will be into it. But what happens is if I don't play it and then I'm like a month behind, I go to like sit down with players that know the format now and they know the cards, I get incredibly frustrated because I make the wrong picks.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I like, just like don't understand what combat tricks there are, and you just make one mistake and get blown out.
Yeah.
You're like, this is just a waste of time.
It's a lot to keep up with, especially when you're trying to keep up with that and like the formats you play in, like Modern or something.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so you're moving through, you're playing Standard, you're learning about Modern. When did you get into Modern? Like, what was the deck that was Tron, the deck that got
Tron.
You in?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Red Green Tron.
Yeah.
I think our shop just started doing like a Modern night one time.
Yeah.
And they had these really cool play mats, and I wanted to win one, and I was like, what's a ramp deck that I can play? And we found Tron, and it was funny because it actually changed the meta at our shop because people knew I would always bring Tron, and they started to have to bring decks to deal with it. It was kind of great.
Interesting. Where'd you move from?
San Francisco.
San Francisco. How do you like LA compared to San Fran? You just said it all with that face. That was it. You just gave the answer right there.
I mean, I do. I love San Francisco. And LA, it's nice, but it's not San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, you're new. I mean, how long have you been here now?
Like 3 months.
3 months.
So very new.
Okay. Okay, cool. And are you trying to get more into the LA Magic scene? Is that like a...
Yeah, I think so. We haven't even got to do pre-release yet, but I would definitely love to play some more Magic here. I hear like it's kind of harder to find shops here, from what I understand.
They're spread out. I mean, there are shops though. There are shops. There's like, I go to Next Gen sometimes. Heidi Ho still has events. They just moved though. They're like on the promenade now. There's like a bunch of other shops that are around the city that are pretty good.
Okay,
it's not too bad. I mean, you just have to. Like, I will tell you this is, you know, and guys, I know we're going on a tangent here away from modern, but, you know, I'm interested. So when you move here, it takes more than a year to get your bearings. Mm. And I think it takes 3 to 4 years for it to feel like home.
Okay.
Like properly. Like there's a comfortability to once you're in a neighborhood for a while in LA that starts to feel like, because it is such a sprawl and there's so many people coming in and out, like cycling in and out of the city all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think that after a few years, you start to really connect to whatever the area that you started in was.
Okay.
And it feels like home. It takes a while, though. And it's incredibly disorienting when you first get here.
Just a little bit. Like, I feel like I've gone to, like, certain locations multiple times already, and, like, I've taken a different route every single time to get there.
And, like, truthfully, I've been here 10 years. There are certain things that you'll never get used to. Like, the traffic and the freeways will always be a pain.
Will always be terrible.
Always. Like, I just don't go to certain parts of town ever because I just don't want to. Because it's like,
fair.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half to get over there, and I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I could drive to San Diego faster without traffic than I could get to Glendale half the days, like, from where I live.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's terrible. So... Well, welcome to the city. We are excited to have you here. We'll be, you know, having you for draft nights and things like that. So, guys, be sure to check out what Ashlyn is doing this weekend. One more time, if you want to check that out on Card Kingdom. It's at the Card Kingdom Twitch channel, right?
Yeah, Card Kingdom Twitch. If you go onto their Twitter, you can find more information about it. It's the Chalice event, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. There's going to be the modern part of the event, but there's also some other like drafts and whatnot that'll be happening as well.
Are you going to be going to any GPs and events this year?
So I have wrapped up my events for the year. My weekends are now taken up because I'm part of the Ravnica the Broken Pact, which is a new D&D show on Twitch.
Oh, is that Ruben's thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I talked about that for a second.
So Ruben, who's the GM, basically got in touch with Magic, and they were working with them to do a new D&D show, which is for their new book, which is Ravnica Guildmaster's Guide.
I think so.
Yeah. So basically it's a Ravnica-themed D&D setting. So we're playing through that, showing off like the new races that come with it. Like I'm a Luxodon. We have a Minotaur in the party, which is really cool. And we'll be doing that all the way through December, I think. So every Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific.
I watched the first episode. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Really? It's fun? Okay, well, I haven't checked it out. D&D is like something I'm like super disconnected from. I like, don't understand it at all. I like never have played it.
It's never too late.
No.
it's a lot of fun. If you like role-playing and like you're a big like RPG player,
yeah.
Or like play MMOs, it's a lot of fun.
Very cool, very cool. Have you been like pretty like nerd? Like I'm a huge nerd. Have you been like kind of a nerd your whole life?
Yeah, I like basically in high school I would like skip school. I'd be like, I'm sick today. And then I'd go online and play like one of my MMOs or something. That was me all through high school and most of my life.
What was like the one like that connected you? Like, was it movies? Was it books? Like, what got you like fully down the nerd path?
I don't even know. I actually didn't read a lot of books growing up. For some reason, I thought they weren't cool. And now I love reading books.
Yeah.
But I think like, I just like being on the computer. I played a lot of Sims.
Okay.
And
the Sims.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one.
And then I got into RuneScape. And then from there, it was just like MMO all day.
Interesting. Did you watch like any, you know, Lord of the Rings, stuff like that growing up?
I did. I liked Lord of the Rings. I had a huge crush on Legolas and Frodo.
Yeah, Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom, seriously.
Everybody loves that guy. But you love Frodo too, huh?
I did for when I was a kid. Like, it's definitely changed now.
I mean, those are definitely, you know, on the opposite sides there.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, because Orlando Bloom is like traditionally handsome, and Frodo's kind of weird.
He was
and creepy.
Cute, yeah.
Yeah, I mean he's great, and those movies are the best thing ever. But
yeah,
definitely differences. For me, like the nerdy stuff that got me into it originally was like, I was a giant comic book fan. I have like 6,000 comics in my mom's basement.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. So when I was a kid, like I worked in a comic book store for store credit. And I collected.
Oh, that's sweet.
I have every single Iron Man comic, starting from 1963. Through 2005. So first appearance, all of them. And I would like load trucks at comic conventions for Silver Age vendors to get comics. So like I have like my Iron Man 55, which is the first appearance of Thanos. I think I like loaded a truck and the guy gave it to me as a kid. Like,
that is crazy. That's amazing.
Well, because this is years ago. I'm 30. So this is when I was like, you know, this is literally like 15 to 20 years ago. So like Iron Man at that point was like a cast off character. where it was like, wow. Oh, you want Iron Man number one, huh? It's like $300. Like, I think I have an Iron Man number one that I think I paid $77 for.
Wow.
And like, I think that that book is worth like 10 grand now, maybe.
It's insane.
Because Iron Man, say what?
So your comic collection is obviously bigger than your magic collection.
That's debatable. Well, I stopped buying comic books like probably around 2005, maybe a little after that. But I have collected magic cards and bought magic cards since I was, since like 95.
Wow.
So at one point I liquidated a lot of stuff, but I probably have like 150,000 magic cards in my mom's basement also. Damn. Plus like, you know, a ludicrous number of cards here. I try to get rid of stuff. Like I try to liquidate as much as I can. But it's definitely, you know, magic cards take up a lot of space.
They do. When we were moving here, it was kind of fun because we had movers come and like they had to pack all our magic cards. And it was just kind of funny trying to explain to them like what they were packing and asking them to be careful with. We're like, they're like baseball cards. Just please don't bend them.
How do you feel about like, you know, Moto and like Arena versus like paper cards? Like do you get like annoyed having to pay for JPEGs?
I did with Magic Online.
Yeah.
But Arena, the way they've set it up, the barrier to entry is really nice and easy.
Yeah.
And you actually don't have to spend money if you don't want to.
Well, that's good.
But I do like playing paper magic the most just because you also get the social interactions.
Right.
Like as you turn three cards, someone, you get to see their face as like their soul dies.
Well, yeah, I think that part of magic is what's drawn me to stay with the game for so long. And it's why I think when I compare it to other video games, I get frustrated with those games because like, the thing that makes magic what it is for me, right? Like the thing that has kept me with it is like, this is a social experience. So even if I lose, even if it's not really that fun, I'm interacting with people, I'm meeting people. Like there's something here. You're like learning more about yourself just by spending time with people versus if you spend a lot of time in front of a computer, like you kind of get brain dead, you zone out, right?
Like, and I don't know about you, but like growing up being a big gamer, I was also really socially awkward. I still am, but it was a little bit harder for me to like interact with people compared to like my friends. And so magic has actually helped a lot with like just making it's easier to interact because you know you have this set of rules and what you can do, and you can chat in between that. But it's safe.
Do you run across like when you go to a magic tournament or you go to a store, like do you find that you interact with the other women that are there in a way that's like different than you interact with the men, like because there are so many less women?
I think so. I think there's definitely like as soon as you see him, you kind of already know like I'm here to support you and I've got your back no matter what type of mentality for sure.
Yeah.
You're
like a girl code almost.
Kind of. Yeah, and you're less quick to like make assumptions or judge as you might like against someone else.
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. The gender gap, it's changed a little, but it's still pretty rough. You still go to tournaments and it's like 98% dudes, I feel like. Maybe it's better than that, but it's pretty bad.
It's getting better, I do feel like, though. I'm seeing a lot of kids now, which is really cool to
see. Very cool to see.
Cosplayer kids as well. Yeah. A lot more cosplayers are going to events, which is really cool.
What's your advice to a young cosplayer? What do you...
Just have fun with it. Yeah. I mean, don't ever be afraid to ask someone else for help. And, pick something you love to do. Don't stress yourself over making some crazy build that you're not enjoying.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. All right, guys. Well, I think that's going to pretty much wrap us up for the day. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out and talking magic, talking modern, talking Tron.
Oh, of course. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And one more time, if the folks want to find you on Twitter, they can find you at...
On Twitter, it's just Ashlyn Rose. Instagram is rar. It's Ashlyn because I'm not consistent with anything.
That's tough.
And then Twitch is twitch.tv/Ashlyn_Rose.
And guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media. You can find the podcast at the MMCast. Be sure to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/the MMCast. That's how we keep this thing going. We are trying to continue to expand and buy more things to make the show better. Hopefully hire somebody to put card images on the screen because we keep getting asked about that. So the Patreon helps us do that, guys. patreon.com/the MMCast. I'll see you guys in Portland in December, I guess. Nice. That's probably the next event I'm going to be at. But otherwise, thanks for listening. We'll see you guys same time, same place next week. Peace.
Bye.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the MMCast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.